Go to your Bibles with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to talk to you tonight about God keeping His promise, or God keeps all of His promises. He keeps promises. And so, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the New Living Translation says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises." Let me read from the Good News Translation. He said, "Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep His promise." The Common English Bible says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promise is reliable." The Common English Version says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope," or "Let us hold tightly to the hope we say is ours. After all, we can trust the one who made the agreement with us." And finally, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, Amplified says, "Let us seize and hold tightly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is reliable, trustworthy, faithful to His word." So I read you all those scriptures because sometimes, you know, different versions will speak to somebody more clearly. You know, different words will sometimes help people understand a little bit more. And so they basically saying the same thing, that God, that latter part of that scripture we were talking about is God keeps His promises. And one of the things He said before that is that we need to hang on tightly. You know, don't casually take a word, and you gotta really take the moment and hang on to the word, because the devil's gonna challenge you. Because whatever you hope, your hope is always your future. Your hope is your dream. Your hope is what's coming, what you eventually want in your life. And the devil will oppose the plan of God for your life, and he wants to stop you from seizing the moment, you know, in the now. And then if he can stop you, you know, he can steal the word from you, distract you, keep you on the natural things of life, and begin to discourage, you know, whatever you're doing in the natural, and cause you to be, you know, disturbed. And he can do that, distract you. So we don't want any distractions. Amen. Including Ed tonight. Praise God. Ushers, be on alert. I'm being challenged by Ed. Praise God. Amen. Okay. We'll start all over, Ed. All right. Let's introduce something here a little bit more. It's easier to keep a promise when everything is working at an optimal level in your life, isn't it? You can keep a promise quite easily. But life is not always like that. When things are not favorable, it can be difficult to keep your word. You know, the Bible says, those who respect God will keep a promise even though it will cost you something or hurt you, or you would lose something. When you say, "I'm going to be there," you be there. If you say, "I'm going to give this," you give that. If you say, "I'm going to serve here," you serve there. Because that will eventually affect your faith. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you say, you shall have. And a lot of times people say a lot of things, and they don't believe what they say. And so consequently, they have a hard time believing God because they think God is like them. But He's not like us. So Psalm 15:4, it says, "Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts." I've heard Brother Hagin mention this many, many times over the years. He said, you know, you keep your promise even though if it's going to, you know, hurt you a little bit, hurt your bank book a little bit, maybe set you back or something, or you go and serve. If you say you're going to serve, you serve. You do something. If you say you're going to do something for someone, you keep your promise. Amen. It'll affect you somewhere down the line. So don't treat the Word of God like it would be somebody that's human. So the question is, what are you hoping? You know, it says, let us hold fast to the hope we profess. So what is your hope for the future? What are you looking forward to? You know, they say when somebody finishes his life in terms of work, career, and they retire, they don't live very long after that. If they don't have a plan, sometimes they have a plan and they still pass away early. So, you know, sometimes when a wife dies, the husband dies not too long after, or the wife dies. In fact, I know a well-known worldwide minister, a wife passed away, he was so distraught about it, and he passes away very quickly after. And I've seen that happen over time. And in fact, you think about Max. Max is a brother. He passed away, and then the wife died very soon after, very, very quickly. For some reason, people lose. You know, you all have to have plans for the future. That'll keep you alive. Amen. You got to be able to have something. You got to have a hope for the future. People say, you know, someone passes away and they took their own life because they don't see any future for themselves. The Bible says when people lose hope, you know, they don't last very long. So that's why it says hang on to the hope you profess and hang on to the Word of God, because the devil's going to oppose you. So we all have dreams. What do you desire to happen in your personal life, in your business, in your ministry? What promises are you standing on as far as Scripture is concerned? Hope is always something that that is ahead of you or eventual. The faith is always something in the now. We must grab a hold of our future right now through faith in God's Word. And many of God's words are in the Scriptures. His promises are in the Scriptures. We need to read the Scriptures and see what it says there for us. So the question is, do you keep your own word? The Bible says this in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. The common English version says, some fail to keep their word and consequently have difficulty in believing God. So God is not like a man, the Bible says. God is no mere human, it says here in the common English version. He doesn't tell lies or changes his mind. God always keeps his promises. Amen. When God says something, he'll keep his promise. So if you're here tonight and you're believing God for something, if you look in the Scripture and you begin to look at that word and begin to meditate on that word, don't just read it. Don't just read it mentally. Eat that word. Get it in your spirit. How do you do that? You read it over and over and you think about it. You talk to yourself about the word. You just have a conversation about the Word with yourself and God about that Scripture. Get it inside your spirit. And that's what happens when you talk with people, you fellowship with people, and you talk to people, and that word, whatever they say, comes inside you. And so, you know, within your own self, you can't, sometimes you can't remain steadfast without the help of God. So when things come up against you, like hard times, you'll want to quit. That's why it says hold fast to the promises of God. And so Scripture says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And so somebody said, you know, if you quit in the middle, it's like you've never started. Keep believing God. Keep staying on the Word. We may, maybe made promises to our own selves even, perhaps. And you've made promises to other people. So when you go through a hard time, maybe financially, and you know, you said you're going to do something and you ran on, you had a financial setback and you were going to buy something for somebody or did something and you said, no, I'm not going to do it now because, I don't have enough money. But, you know, you can keep your promise. Amen? I've done it. promised somebody something, and I had to go and buy something with tears. Amen. But I kept my word, because my word is important. Your word should be important to you, right? Glory to God. So we may have made those promises. So stick to the word. Stick to your word. You know, our Creator, our God, isn't like us, humans. He keeps His word. We can count on Him keeping His word. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the New Living Translation said, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is. The Bible says God is a faithful God. He is faithful to keep His promise. And so we need to get that in our spirit and get on the Word of God. And if God promised you something, even if you go through a hard time and you're believing and something's going on in your life and it's not looking like it's going good, and you know, you seem to have lost hope naturally. In fact, you could lose all hope naturally. But you stick to the Word. The Word will give you the faith to stand on that hope, because it's coming. Our Maker and Creator keeps all of His promises. God can be trusted to keep His promises, as Hebrews 10:23 says, and we read that scripture. God can be trusted to keep His promises. God can keep His promises. We don't have to try to bug Him. He knows what He said. And so we stay with the Word of God. So if you talk about promise, what is a promise? A promise is a declaration that God will do something, or that a particular thing will happen, or it's to announce something that will be expected that will happen. A promise is like a covenant. It's a strong commitment to do something. It's a formal agreement, a contract in writing. It's an agreement between God and His people. So, for example, the Jewish faith, as far as the covenants or the Old Testament is concerned, is based on agreements that God made with His people. And so God made promises, for instance, to Abraham. God made promise to Moses. God made promises to David. God made promises to every one of them. And at the end of Joshua's life, and the Bible says about God, and you know, He kept every one of His promises. Not one of His promises failed. And we can really rely on that God will keep His promises to you. God kept His promises, the psalmist declared long ago. And Psalm 146 and verse 6, the Good News Translation says, the Creator of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, He always keeps His promises. Let's all say this together. Say, He always. Come on, let's say it. He always. Come on again. See, He always keeps His promise. That's God. He always keeps His promise. Remember, He's not like you. He's not like the other guy. It might be. It may be so. Perhaps 50%. It could happen. No, God always keeps His promise. Amen. So, the Bible is filled with God's promises. Our faith is built on those declarations that God made with humanity. So, we trust God will do what He says He'll do, because He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps all His agreements, and He'll never miss us. He'll never fail every one of His words. Psalm 105, verse 42, the Common English says, God never forgot His sacred promises to His servant Abraham. Glory to God. Amen? He never forgot His sacred promises. God keeps His promises not only to Abraham, but He'll keep His promise to you, praise God. So what he said to Israel, He said to the church. And we need to find out what he told Israel. So what Israel is a type and shadow of what we are, we have here. And what He said to them, He said to us. What He said to Abraham, He said to you and me, praise God. So find out what He said in the Scriptures. Read the Word, meditate on the Word. The Bible says, you know, as we heard many, many times, we've said this, that God, the Bible, is God speaking to us. God is speaking to you. The Bible is God speaking to you. So Let's look at this for a second here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 29. All of you are God's children. This is the Common English Version. All of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. God made you his child by faith. Verse 21 says, if you belong to Christ, you are now part of Abraham's family, and you will be given what God had promised. Isn't that wonderful? What he told Abraham, he told us. That's what I was just saying earlier. Praise God. Amen. So Psalm 105, verse 7 to 9, I'm reading the Common English Bible. The Lord our God, bringing justice everywhere on the earth, he will never forget his agreement or his promises. Not in 1,000 years. Praise God. Well, 1,000 years, none of us will live down here 1,000 years. He'll never break it. The Bible says, generation after generation, he'll keep his promise. God made an eternal promise. Verse 10 says to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Verse 11 says, when he said, I'll give you the land of Canaan. So he promised them, we call it the promised land, the Canaan land. Canaan land is the type of blessing that we get here on earth. Amen. Canaan land is the promises. And they fought giants. They fought enemies in Canaan land. And so you're going to have to fight if you want to keep the promises. You're going to have to fight some giants. What kind of giants are you fighting? And I don't know how big it is for you. It could be huge for you. I might not be fighting the same giants you had. Some of your giants have one eyeball. Some have two eyeballs. Some of them are huge giants. Amen? But you can fight that giant. Glory to God. Amen? And so we fight by faith in the Word of God. We stand on the Word. Are you here with me? So he said, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. Some people didn't believe it. Some people did believe it. Some people possessed it. Some people didn't possess it. And when some people did possess it, they got off and they started worshiping other things and got off and got into trouble and got off on the things of God. You know how many people know you can come to church, get born again, get blessed a little bit for a couple of years, and then forget God because you got a brand new car. Amen? And you got a wife now. Amen? And then your wife, you can't marry a Philistine wife because they'll take you away. You better marry a good one within the promises, praise God. Marry one, that has two eyes, praise God, amen. Amen, I married my wife, and she's still pretty good, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk later, amen. Hallelujah, amen. How many of you got a good wife, amen? Some of you got one. Ed, you better get one. Amen. Praise God. I'm believing God for you. There's somebody out there for you. So, yeah? Okay. Sure. You better believe it. If you don't believe it, if you keep being single, then that means you don't believe it. So I'm going to have to get on you. Praise God. I'll find one for you. You might not like my style. I don't like your style. You might not like mine either. Praise God. Okay? I mean, you see my style over here. Stay away from her. Okay, let's not argue. Let's get it. Let's be the agreement. Okay, praise God. Okay, God kept His promises to Israel. I'm glad we edit these programs. Amen. Ed's always in my program. Since we don't have Ernie, he used to sit over here. Ernie, I know you're out there. You better get back here. So, shut up. Okay, God kept His promise here to Israel. Ed, I love you. I love you too, bro. Listen, you going to drive me home tonight? Okay, all right. God kept, everybody say, God keeps His promises. Amen. Hallelujah. This guy followed me from college. I can't get rid of him. He's like the guy who followed the psychiatrist home. Anyway, let's change it. We're going to cut this part. Say, God keeps His promises. So God will keep His promise. He kept His promise to Israel. And God will keep His promises to the church. And for every individual in that church. Amen? Not just the church in general, but everybody. You need to claim the promises. And there are giants out there. Giants will try to steal from you. They'll, if you don't get rid of the giant, they'll plague you all your life. Get rid of it quickly. So over here in Joshua chapter 21, verse 44 and 45, the Lord gave them rest on every side. How many people like to have a rest? Somebody was talking today about, every fifth person in Canada suffers from some mental health, something like that. It's Mental Health Month. And so people suffer from different things, and they're asking, some people can't sleep. Well, I've been sleeping real good. I go to bed at night at maybe midnight, get up at 7 in the morning. Sometimes used to get up at 3. That's because I ate ice cream. So I stopped eating ice cream. So anyway, I sleep good. And so it's not because, when we talk about mental health, it has to do with fear. If you can get rid of anxiety, there's three things in life. If you can get rid of fear, if you know how to handle anxiety, number two. Number three, if you know how to handle stress, that eliminates over half of your problems immediately. Immediately. Get rid of fear. Amen? And so if you can get rid of that, you won't have any stress in your life, your problems, half of your sicknesses, physical sicknesses, will go away. Headaches will go away. Tightness in the chest. Amen. You get tight everywhere, even in your wallet. When you get tight, I got mental health illnesses, and my wallet has gotten tightened up. Well, no, you need to be healed. Praise God. Amen. Get loosening by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now, over here it says in here that the Lord gave rest on every side. Joshua 21:44. Just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. Okay, so Joshua, his ancestors was promised something, but God kept the promise to him. And what God told them, he'll keep to us. Amen? So find out what the promises said. None of their enemies could stand against them. So what kind of enemy do you have? Do you have anxiety issues? That's an enemy. Do you have an eating disorder? That's an enemy. Nobody wants to look at me when I say eating disorder. If you got addiction or whatever it is. Enemies could be, you think about giants. There are things that are overpowering your life. Could be all kinds of stuff. So none of his enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them and to conquer all their enemies. The Lord will help you to conquer your enemies, whatever it is. But you need to stand. The devil's not going to say, well, I know you got promises. We'll just let you go for now. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to fight you every step of the way. Whatever plagued you before in your family is going to come back at you somewhere along the line. That's what happened. Jesus said, the devil will come back. In fact, the Bible says about Jesus, the devil left him for a season. And the Bible says, that's fourth chapter of Luke, fourth chapter of Matthew. He said the devil left him for a season, came back again. He's not going to stay away from you. He has access in this world. Bible says he's the God of this world. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says the enemy's waiting for an opportune time when you got your guard down. I heard the other day when, Pastor Hagin talked about that, just when you let your guard down. None of us should let our guard down every day. You should sleep with your armor on. Your shield of faith, you got on all the time, and your helmet of salvation, and a belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace on, and your sword of your spirit, you got. Keep it on. That's why you fight and you sleep. Praise God. Well, anyway, verse 45, not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. So we need to meditate on that word and said everything God promised you. Find out what God promised you and stick with it. Even though perhaps you've been standing on something for a few years, a few months, a few hours, a few decades, you stand on the word no matter what. You know, the word God promises life in Jesus. He gave us life in Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1:1, Paul says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he had promised through faith in Christ. We all have been given the promise of life in Christ Jesus. We have that promise right now. 2 Timothy 1:2, it says, the New Living, I am writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. Well, let's claim grace, mercy, and peace. We need that every day. Amen? Hang on to the grace of God, because there are things that you cannot do on your own. And the kind of mercy we need is available every day. The Bible says we could come to the throne of grace every day, that mercy seat every day, that we can have that peace. So, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. You and I can hold on to the promises of God and hold tightly or strongly in those promises, even when things go wrong, even when you know the will of God for something and things can come against you. So God will help us in our struggles to stay afloat no matter what is happening. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that's something that's available to us every morning, every day. We get up, we say, thank God, you know. I woke up this morning and I say, thank God, it's going to be a fantastic day. Hallelujah. This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a day of opportunity. It's going to be a day of grace, a day of peace. It's going to be a day of open doors. Glory to God. It's going to be a day of blessing. And I keep confessing those things for myself. And I confess everything about the church, the people in the church. Father, thank you for all the families in the church. I thank you for the grace of God, for the moms and dads, and all the decisions they have to make. And we pray protection upon each child, every family. We thank you for every need to be met. Glory to God. Amen. So we pray for the people of God. And we say, Lord, I don't know what they need today. I can just pray general prayer sometimes, unless people tell me what it is. And so I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what they need, but I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to quote these scriptures in Ephesus or Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and quote all these prayers. And I'm going to pray these prayers. And I'm going to pray in tongues too, because I don't know specifically what they need today. So I'm praying that they'll have wisdom and they'll have direction. And if there's enemy has a plan for them, we cancel those plans, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. You promise in your word that you said in your word that you will protect every one of them. And I was, you know, reminded this morning, Psalm 41. Put up Psalm 41 in the classical version. Psalm 41:10 up here. Praise God. Amen. Who's back there? Is that the Yasmina? Is that you? Praise God. You're my good friend. I love you, and I thank you for your help. So, Isaiah 41:10. Let's go to the, Isaiah 41:10. Did I say this one? Did I say Psalm? Okay, so I'm sorry about that. It's my mistake. Praise God. Amen? Okay, so let's go here. Thank you. It says, fear not. There is nothing to fear. Here's the Bible promise for all of us. Amen? Look to your neighbor. Come on. Say, there's nothing to fear. Amen. Look at your other neighbor. Say, there's nothing to fear. Praise God. Amen. So that's what God says. But in your mind, in the natural, there's lots to fear. Amen. Oh, just over here, just on the street, my wife and I, we were called one night, last night, somebody called us and said, we're stuck. My car ran out of gas. It's 11 o'clock at night. Can you come and pick us up and buy some gas for me? I don't have any money, but I'll promise to pay you back. I said, I don't have any I don't have a jerry can. I have to find one. So I went to find one. And, my wife was busy on the phone. And so someone needs help. So I ran out just over here, not too far away, over by the clover leaf over here. So I put it in there. I went to the gas, garage and put it in there. And I decided to go. I said, "Where are you?" They gave me an address. So I said, "Okay, we'll come pick you up." So I drove there, and nobody came. So I waited and waited. Nobody came. I said, "Well, they're probably not that serious about getting their car." So I left. I said, "I'll leave the gas can outside here for you." I said, "Okay, that'll work." I said, "Nah, I'm not going to leave this gas tank out here. I'm taking it with me." So I left. The life and times of Roma Fisher. So I left with the gas tank and came home. It was pretty close by, so I thought, this is not a big problem. So if they're not coming, what am I going to do? Leave it outside in the street? What if somebody came in and decided to light it up? So I didn't want to leave it here. And so anyway, I left it there. Besides, it's a woman. I thought they were a man and a woman. So I said, I can't be picking up a woman at 11 o'clock at night in my car. So I said, okay, that's the reason why I left. So I said, I'm going to go get my wife. So I went home, and the game was on, so I decided to watch the game. So they called me back again, said, I can't find a jerry can. I said, well, I didn't. Of course, I watched a couple periods. No, I'm just kidding. I just waited for a few minutes. I said, okay, I'll be right back there. So I told my wife, let's come with me because we're going to go and help this person. So I went. We went back and picked up this person. And we picked them people up. And then we had to drive all the way back to Fort Port Arthur because you can't just jump on the freeway over here. You have to go all the way back to Balsam Street and come all the way back here. The life and times of Roma Fisher. So we come driving back again. We couldn't find the vehicle because it's dark, right? Said, where's the car? I guess they must have towed it. And we got there, we found the car. But going to Port Arthur that way, we met a whole pile of police cruisers. So we come back. Me being nosy after doing all that, so I said, I got to find these police cruisers. Where are they? All coming to Kern River. So I went to Kern River. Over here, I saw a big red light, so I came over here. It was a stop sign. See, they have a big stop sign here with a big light going. Anybody notice that? Yeah? Anyway, is this story interesting you? Okay. Momo says yes, so let's go on. So anyway, we got there, and there's like 7 cop cars on the street, on Hodder Avenue. So I drove around. I want to go look closer. My wife said, don't go there. Don't go there. I said, well, I'm a citizen. I want to know what's happening. I've been praying for this area here. And the same week, just over here, we saw 4 police cruisers just over here on Leslie Street over here. I guess someone, stabbed someone. And so the police were there for 24 hours, 48 hours, parked in front of this place. And this place is getting dangerous, just over here. Where's the prayer warriors? We need to start praying heavy, heavy prayers. So anyway, I drove around, and then I said, I'll maybe take a picture here. I didn't take a picture, though. I mean, there's lots of police officers, and one police officer come running. He ran behind his vehicle and opened up his trunk. I'm standing there behind. And we saw lights going poof, poof, poof. And Edith says, let's get out of here. I said, this is getting exciting. Let's stay a little bit longer. Anyways, that should have been a news correspondent. Well, we found out that somebody died here tonight, yesterday, over here, just on Cumberland Street. Someone was killed there. But why am I saying that? I'm saying this, fear not, there's nothing to fear. I'm saying this, there's lots to fear in this world. But this word says, sure, nothing, there's nothing to fear. But then again, you saw all these police officers, saw all that stuff happening, and you say, well, there is something to fear. In 2 nights, there was 2 stabbings in our area. So God says there's nothing to fear. So we are going to have to stand on the word of God. That's a promise to you, even though there's stuff happening. It's a promise to you and me. Amen? See, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror, and be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. It has nothing to do if you feel strong or not. God says, I'm going to strengthen you. Notice what it says there. I will harden you to difficulty. That's like a shield, man. Boom, 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 shooting you. Just standing there like Superman. Come on, devil. Is that the right? Is all you got? Huh? I'm telling you, I'm just looking at this, you know, in my own imagination. I mean, I'm thinking imagination in my own mind about what God's word looks like. So, I will harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you or hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand. Now, go to the Amplified Bible. This is the classical. I want to go to just a regular amp, just a regular everyday amp. From now on. That was the classical version. Praise God. Is that the Amplified? I will take hold of you with my righteous hand, a hand of justice. You know, that word hit me this morning when I was praying, the hand of justice. You know, God is a just God. He's not going to let the enemy get away with something in your life. He's a just God. He's going to repay you back. Amen? Say, he repays me back. So, I mean, that's the promise of God. You know, so I thank God for that. Did you enjoy that scripture? Hallelujah. Paul says this. We read this scripture, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promises. I could go on some more here, but I want to give you one more scripture. Is that okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And we might even add on there Isaiah. you see, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's go to the classical, go back to the classical version again, because it just brings out some words from the Greek language and just really amplifies it for us so that we can understand a bit more. So, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. You know, authority, they explained it like this to me when I was in Bible school. Authority is like, you know, they said, you know, the police officer, you're driving down the road and he holds up his hand like this, right? Anybody ever had a police officer do this to you? Or did if you did this, that's bad. Huh? Hey, you, come here. I said, no. Yeah, you. come on over here. You're talking to him or talking to me? So anyway, the police officer, if you're driving down the road and he does this, well, you don't do this, right? You step on your brake and you stop. Okay? So that police officer has authority, right? It doesn't mean he has like strong muscles and, oh, he's got authority, he's strong. It has nothing to do with how he feels or what he kind of power has. He has authority. God has given us this authority. You might not feel strong against your enemy, but that has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with your soulish life in terms of how you feel and what you think about it. It has everything to do with God's authority, God's authoritative word in your life. He said, I'm going to give you authority. About for what? He said that to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength. Sometimes when you're stressed out, you don't even feel strong. But God promises you, I'm going to give you strength in your physical body. Sometimes when the pressure is so strong in your life, you're almost losing it in your mind. The Bible says, I'm going to give you mental strength and ability. And your mind is being bombarded with demonic forces. I've been there. And God gave me the scripture. And I've stood strong mentally. You know, you can claim that for mental health. Glory to God, amen? So it says 1 in 5. So 1 in 5 in here is having some difficulty right now. That's what I'm heard. That's what I heard. Could be all of us. We could be the 1 in 5 in our group. Right? But the Bible says that God will give us mental strength and ability. Okay? Over all the power or all the power that the enemy possesses, nothing in any way shall harm you. No fear. Psalm 91:10. No fear here. Amen. No fear. Everybody say, no fear. No fear here. So that's what you got to say. You know, you got to trust that word. God promises you to strengthen you when you feel weak. When you don't have any physical strength in your body. I remember Brother Hagin said, when I was believing God for my healing, I was paralyzed. But God strengthened me with his power. His strength came inside of me. And mentally, it gave me an energy to think. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. This is Isaiah 54:17. One more scripture. We're going to close her up because we got places to go, things to do. Amen? We could be here. I mean, I like it here myself. Praise God. Let's go to Isaiah. What does it say? Isaiah 54:17. One more scripture. Let's go to, let's read it Amplified again. Let's go and see that, what it says here. Amplify, thank God for his promises. Now you can go away and believe God to strengthen your body. It's a promise in the scripture. You can go and believe God to strengthen your mentality. Amen? Everybody say, my mind is my mind. So I can feel any way I want to. So I can feel any way I want to. So I can feel any way I want to. See, it depends what you think, right? Right? Now, listen. No weapon. I didn't say tell. You only repeat what I tell you. I'm just kidding. Okay, watch this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. People say, well, there's some weapons will come through. No, nothing. If the enemy puts any kind of plan against you, so when I pray in the morning, I say, Father, I'm praying for all my family here at Faith City Church, and you've given me authority over them as a pastor, as a shepherd. I'm praying for every one of them right now. I'm praying for all their family, their children. If they're in school, I'm going to pray for the school. I pray for all the administrators. I pray for the teachers and the principals. I'm praying for every one of them in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying if there's any plan against the enemy, from the enemy, against the people of God here, I come against that. I cancel every one of those plans in the name of Jesus right now. I cover them with the blood of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. Anybody that's sick, anybody that has emotional problems right now, I'm praying that you strengthen them right now in the name of Jesus. That's how I pray for you. I claim that every day for you. And if you're not claiming that, well, you better start claiming it. I also pray for anybody has a sore foot from dancing too hard. Amen? My mom, used to be drink all night and dance all night, and she had blisters. True story. Anyway, she'd laugh at that if I told her. She'd be laughing. Mom, don't dance. Okay. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt show it to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition, this heritage is servant of the Lord. It belongs to us. It's your heritage. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus tonight for all the promises. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Come on, people. Stand up and give God praise and thank him for his goodness. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus that every promise that you've given us is coming to pass in our life. We're claiming the promises of God. Amen. The promise of God is a sure foundation. Amen. The promises of God will come true in my life, and I don't care what the devil said. We're going to have a great night. We're going to have a great week. We're going to have a great month, great year. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for a couple of seconds? In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for everyone that's watching online right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. We pray for every person that's watching online right now. I had this woman call me the other day. In the name, it was today, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you for blessings in the home, Lord. We thank you for blessings for moms and dads, for children. And the devil is trying to disturb families. In Jesus' name, I praise you for those attacks will stop right now against the families in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Send your angels forth and cause protection over the families and over relationships and over difficulties. And the devil is trying to put a wedge between the mom and dad and the children. We pray that it will be destroyed right now. The yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. We thank you. Release the power of God in those situations in the home right now in the name of Jesus. There goes that power. Father, we praise you. And every sick person shall arise. You said that healing will arise with Father God in the name of Jesus. And they'll jump forth like calves of a stall. Brand new strength come to their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Fill every heart. Every heart that's wanting a fresh encounter with God. A freshness of the Holy Ghost. We give you praise. And those that are crying out that need to be born again, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I need to be saved. I need a Savior. I need a deliverer right now in the name of Jesus Christ.